Good morning. Let's just start with a prayer. Father God, Lord, we just thank you for this morning, Lord, that we can come together like this to hang out and have this opportunity this day to glorify you, Lord. And I just pray that this morning, God, that you would bring your revelatory spirit and give us ears to hear and heart to receive, God, today. And Lord, that you would use me to bring your truth. I just pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week was Easter. And we had a chance to, you know, on Good Friday and during the week to really reflect on Jesus' life. And, you know, as I was reflecting yesterday, you know, it's pretty crazy what Jesus endured. And not just in terms of difficulty, but just what he was willing to go through. I mean, if you think about it, you know, we know that, as P. Sam shared, that Jesus was a really strong guy, right? I'm talking about physically, even. Like, he was a carpenter, so he was probably someone who's quite, you know, he's ripped in the arms, his shoulders, his forearms. He's a guy that is strong, right, physically. But then, more than that, you know, he is the Son of God, right? In the same way, if he could raise the dead, right? If he had that ability to raise the dead, he probably also had the ability to have people drop dead if he wanted to. Like, you look at Ananias and Sapphira, and that's exactly what happened, right? They lied, and God literally came, they dropped dead, right? And in the same way, if Jesus was able to calm the storm, right, when the boat was going crazy and rocking, he could have probably brought the storm if he wanted to. And, you know, God did that with Pharaoh and the plagues, the hail, right, as one of the plagues, and, you know, the flood, obviously. So, you know, Jesus, as Son of God, right, he has that capability and, you know, arsenal to do all those things. He is one powerful guy. So what I meant that it's crazy what he endured, right, is, you know, as Jesus was going through that whole, I guess, process, right, where the Roman army came to arrest him, as he carried that cross, you know, and, you know, based on, I guess, the description, you know, as he lugged that cross and he could barely carry it, as he was, you know, being nailed to that cross, at any time, he could have, you know, literally just stuck out his hand, like, have everyone who was, you know, persecuting him, he could have had them drop dead. He could have brought lightning and just literally zapped everybody. He could have done that, but he didn't, right? And even to his very last breath, you know, right before he I guess, died, he could have healed himself, right? I mean, Jesus did a lot of healing, and he could have, you know, just mended all his wounds and said, hey, I am the Son of God. Look, I'm healed. But instead, you know, if you look at Luke 23:46, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. So it's crazy that he went through all that when he could have not, right? And then P. Sam basically shared on Friday night that this depiction of Jesus and what he went through was the ultimate display of faith, right? Because Jesus, it was like the worst of the worst circumstances, experience. It was the most bleak and dark times. But yet, Jesus was able to trust and have faith in God in that whole time. And, you know, that faith and trust was displayed by Jesus through the obedience he showed for God's will. So on Friday when PSAM, on Good Friday he shared, and also when Larry shared on Sunday, they kind of shared and encouraged people. Larry shared during second service, like during the worship time, and they shared about, you know, just really repenting and just recommitting our hearts so that we would basically have that same trust and faith that Jesus had in God, right? And just realign ourselves with God. So what I wanted to talk about today was maybe how we can continue through that recommitment and response, which is the issue of obedience, right? Because, you know, Jesus, in the end, what was so special through his faith and trust and how we know about it was that he obeyed, right? Every step of the way, he basically submitted and surrendered his will and obeyed God. So what is obedience? I mean, I know it seems like kind of a silly and almost rhetorical question, right? Like, oh, what is obedience? Obedience is obeying God, or right? But I guess when I was trying to think of, oh, what is obedience? Like kind of thinking of it in a real practical Christian context, right? Like say Friday night, Sunday, we recommitted ourselves, right? We're like, oh, Lord, you know, maybe during that time of worship, you know, God came and really touched you and you're recommitted. Now you can obey, but it's kind of like obey in what? Right? Well, what do I do now? How can I obey? So I guess one thing that people would do is, are you going to start reading the Bible? Right? Maybe I should start reading the Bible a lot. Is it an aspect of gaining knowledge, right? Is it basically hearing God's voice? Is it, you know, realizing or reading that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? Maybe it's more than just knowledge. It's also agreement with the knowledge, right? Maybe it's, you know, knowing, maybe God spoke to you and maybe, for instance, let's use Nelly as example since she's at the front. Maybe God spoke to her and was like, I love you, Nelly. So that would be the knowledge, right? She's like, okay. And then maybe she's like, I love you. I want this intimate personal relationship with you. And Nelly's like, yes, I know. And now I agree. Is that obedience? Well, the answer lies in James 2, chapter 2, verse 14 to 26. It's pretty long, so I'll let you guys turn there. Okay, so James chapter 2, verse 14. What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead being by itself. But someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one. You do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, "And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. So, when I talk about obedience, just looked up. When I talk about obedience, I know it sounds kind of odd, but it's we have to respond through our actions, right? I mean, you look at what was written in this verse, and it says, even the, like when I said, is it just the knowledge and agreement? Is that enough? It's not enough, because even the demons would say, yes, you know, Jesus is the Savior, which is the knowledge and agreement. They would agree that Jesus is the Savior. Well, obviously, that is not